Thank you for tuning in to the Bethel Church Podcast. At Bethel, we're all about relationship. So if you're in the Phoenix area, we invite you to attend a Sunday service, 9 or 11 a.m., or visit BethelChandler.com for more information. Now stay tuned for this week's message from Pastor Mike Gowans.
Today we begin a new series called All Things Are Possible. All things are possible, and turn in your Bibles, if you would, to Matthew chapter 11, verse 1. That's where we'll begin. But before we get into the scripture, I wanted to share another testimony out of my testimony journal. And 2 months into the new year, and almost have, I think, 60 testimonies. And I have one I want to share. And my son will probably be at the next service because he was out partying like a Christian last night because his basketball team, Valley Christian High School, won the state championship. So that made my testimony journal. If you don't have one yet, get one, okay? Because God has already done some awesome things this year for your life. And in your life, amen? And he deserves it to be recorded, to be remembered. And you're going to need it. Okay, you're going to need that testimony sometime this year because you're going to face trials and disappointments that those testimonies will help you overcome. In this life, there will, Jesus said, be offense. Offenses will come. And before offenses, normally I have found are disappointments. You're disappointed with something and the way something's going and happening. And it's in those moments, man, you got to be reminded that God is good, that God can work all things out for good. And if God did it before, he'll do it again. Amen? All right, so what did I say? Matthew chapter 11? Matthew chapter 11, that's where we'll begin. And I've entitled this message in this series, All Things Are Possible, Don't Take the Bait. In fact, turn to your neighbor and tell him, don't take the bait. All right. And what bait that is bait of Satan. And it's the bait of offense that comes in the midst of disappointment. Like, there are going to be disappointing moments and things that happen in your life. But in that moment, do not take the bait of Satan and get offended. And we're going to see that no matter how long you've been walking with Jesus, no matter how mature you think you are in Christ, you are susceptible to that bait of offense. And if you take it, as you're going to see, you are now a tool to believe from the enemy anything. You've been hooked. And now you have to fight like hell against hell to get unhooked. But the better strategy is don't take the bait. Don't take the bait of offense when disappointing times happen in your life. And they will happen. Matthew chapter 11. Now, it came to pass, when Jesus finished commanding his 12 disciples, that he departed there to teach and to preach in their cities. And when John had heard in prison about all the works Christ had been doing, he sent two of his disciples to Jesus. And he said to him, are you the one coming? Are you the coming one? Or do we look for another one? Jesus answered and said to them, go tell John the things which you hear and see. The blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he who is not offended because of me. As they departed, Jesus began to say to his multitudes concerning John. So after the disciples leave, John's disciples leave, Jesus began to say to the multitudes concerning John, "What do you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? But what did you go out to see? A man clothed in soft garments? Indeed, those who wear soft clothing are kings and houses. But what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I say to you, and more than a prophet. For this is he whom it is written, 'Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you.' Assuredly, I say to you, among those born of women, there has not risen one greater than John the Baptist. But he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." Let's pray. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, we come before you because Jesus made a way for us. We thank you that forgiveness is available. The cleansing blood of Jesus is available for us today, that our hearts can be cleansed, that our minds can be renewed, that our consciences can be cleaned. Jesus, you are the Word that changes our lives, the Word that transforms us. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would anoint me to be a messenger, and I'd only speak your words today, and that you would prepare hearts to receive the Word, that you would open eyes, that you'd open ears to receive truth, to receive a rhema word that would be life-changing, that we wouldn't be the same because we are in your presence today, hearing your word in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. So let me set this up a little bit, our text, in that or unpack it. So John the Baptist, related to Jesus, knows that Jesus is the Messiah. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. In fact, as Jesus is coming out to him in the desert, John the Baptist leaps with, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Here he comes. Here he is." His whole message was that of prepare the way for him. And when his timing came, he jumped for joy and declared, "The Lamb of God, this is the one. It's time." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's time. Even as Jesus comes, he goes, "Bro, I'm not worthy to even untie your sandals, man. You want me to baptize you? No way. You baptize me." "No, you get that privilege, John, to baptize the Savior of the world, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. You've been chosen." He gets baptized, and then he starts hearing while he's still ministering that Jesus has bigger crowds. And he's asked, "What about this, John? What does he say? I must decrease so he can increase." Come on. Come on. He's excited about it. But then he gets thrown into prison. Something happens in prison. We're not given a lot of details, but I think we can imagine. You're in prison. You've been isolated. You're alone. You're like, wait a second. This isn't part of the plan. I didn't hear about this. I didn't hear about prison. I prepared the way for Jesus, the King of Kings, and you're going to come and kick the Romans out, and I'm going to rule with you, Jesus. See, understand this. John the Baptist, that's what he thought, along with all the disciples. And church, I want you to understand something. Like and I have been there myself, okay? So I'm confessing, and I hope to not be there in the future, but so many times we put these weights and we put these requirements on people to get saved and to be saved. Like if you don't believe in the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you can't be saved. How many of you understood the Trinity when you got saved? Probably none of you. And even today, you still don't get it. Praise God, you understanding the Trinity is not a requirement to be born again. And how many of you knew when you gave your life to Jesus all that he would require of you? No, not at all. But yet we raise this bar of like, well, you got to know all this. Come on. It's a work of grace. And when you encounter that grace, it changes you. And if it's real, you will grow. But don't put something on people. Don't put religion on people before they know Jesus. Don't try to cause people to live a holy life before they have the Holy Spirit. Amen? And it's not like the father of our faith was called by God, given a son, and then told to kill him right away. Right? I mean, it was a journey of faith. And he made tons of mistakes. And God can handle your mistakes. So now you have John the Baptist. He's in prison. And he thought, Jesus, I baptize you now. It's time. Let's revolt. And he's sitting in prison. And guess what? I think John the Baptist was a little disappointed. And disappointment's not sin. It's what you do with disappointment that becomes sin. Good. There will be disappointments. And there will be offensive things that happen. And there's a line that connects disappointment and offense. There's a line that connects it. And sometimes it can be the same. They're so close. And even if you get offended, what are you going to do at that moment? You can't, you got hooked, okay? You got hooked. What do you do? Don't let that hook go deep with unforgiveness. Because it produces unhealthy things in your life. In fact, so many times disappointment leads to offense. I mean, let's just start here for a moment. Let's just do it. This is an unscientific poll, but how many have ever been disappointed with yourself? Okay, and the rest of you are liars, okay? How many of you have ever been disappointed with God? Disappointed with somebody else? What we do with disappointment is so important. It's so important. Now, what not to do with disappointment is say, I'm no longer going to have expectations for anything. What will be, will be. See, when you are disappointed and you take that offense on, and you may not have connected this, you're disappointed and all of a sudden now you're offended. Like you've just bit it. And man, it leads to anger, frustration, which is just a nice way of saying angry. Okay? I mean, I've used that. I'm just frustrated. Yeah, you're angry. Okay? And what it can lead to is unbelief. What it can lead to is you believing lies. Let me just go down this tangent for just a moment. There are many doctrines that people believe today in churches and denominations that were a result of disappointment that led to offense, that then search the scriptures in a way with their offense, and they now say, well, God doesn't heal anymore. Why? Because they were disappointed one time they prayed and they didn't get healed. So they couldn't handle that disappointment, and they were offended that it didn't work, which then led them to believing a lie. The bait of Satan was taken, believing a lie, and then taking their hurt, taking their offense to the Bible, not to deal with their offense, but to actually cause the scriptures to not let them be disappointed again. And so they lower the expectation. God doesn't heal anymore. Listen, if you're going to live by faith, you're going to need expectation. And we'll get into that in the coming weeks. But you can't walk by faith without expectation. And it seems that God is okay with us having faulty expectations. Like, hey, come give your life to Jesus. And if we all would go back to that moment, we were probably all thinking about ourselves more than we were Jesus, and what Jesus could do for us more than we could do for him. If we just be real, right? Like, man, my marriage is a mess. I'm going to come to Jesus, okay? And maybe you got saved in that decision, or maybe it was later, but he was okay with that. Your expectation led you. The expectation that John the Baptist had, I'm going to have a significant part in the kingdom of God, led him to, I'm not going to drink wine, this high standard of holiness. I'm going to eat honey. I'm going to eat grasshoppers, okay? I'm going to wear a camel's skin inside out, okay? Like, I'm willing to do all this because I have an expectation that I will be rewarded. And here's the deal. You will be. It's just not always the same time in the same way you think. Ultimately, I promise you this. I promise all of you. He will reward you above and beyond what you could think, ask, or imagine one day if you trust him. If you trust him, whatever you have to suffer in this life, whatever you have to endure in this life, whatever disappointment you have to overcome in this life, he will bless you in this life, but even more in the life to come. I promise you, I guarantee it with all my heart, with my life. I know it to be true. In those moments of disappointment, it's, God, I don't understand why this is happening. I don't understand why this person wasn't healed. I don't understand why I lost my job. I don't understand, but God, I trust you. I trust you. But John the Baptist didn't process that disappointment. No matter where you are in your spiritual journey, this is the bait that you cannot take. Because the moment you do, you are susceptible to deception. Deception. John the Baptist was questioning, Jesus, are you the one? Are you the one? Because my feelings are hurt. No, he didn't say that. But his feelings were hurt. He had disappointment. And that disappointment led to an offense that led to the lie that I'm not sure Jesus is the one. Nothing has led to atheists more than disappointment and offense. Nothing. It's Christians who say they believe and they go out there and they live contrary to how Jesus said. That leads to more atheists than science ever will. Science will bring people to Jesus. Okay? Religion will drive people from Jesus. Hypocrisy will drive people from Jesus. Disappointment, if not dealt with properly, will cause Christians to deconstruct their faith. You get to the root of everything. In my experience of over 30 years, when you get to the root of everything, it has to do with disappointment and offense. And that's what happened to John the Baptist, who Jesus said was the greatest man who ever lived. Greater than Abraham, greater than David, greater than Samson, Deborah, Ruth, all the Old Testament saints. John the Baptist was greater, yet John the Baptist was questioning why. Because he didn't process disappointment. And he took the bait of Satan, offense. I don't know the percentage, but most people leave churches because they're offended. Most people stop going to church because they're offended. This is the bait of Satan. This can't be talked about enough because there's lures all over the place. All week long, you're going to have to maneuver around the lures of the devil. Because there are going to be plenty of disappointments that you're going to face. And the bait to be offended is right there. It's easy. It's right there. And then you got to be careful because here's the deal. Your friend takes the bait. It's you just tag along. You just tag along. The disciples, you think John's disciples, they were probably disappointed with what Jesus said. What did Jesus, you're not coming? Like, that's all they, like, just tell them what we already know the testimony. And add on, like, you know, put salt on a wound. Oh, yeah, tell John. Blessed will he be, happy will John be if he's not offended at me. What, Jesus? Why? What? What? What if John the Baptist in prison's like, man, this is lonely here. I need Jesus. Man, will you go ask Jesus if he can come visit me? I'm struggling. Now, I'm not saying Jesus would have gone. But what didn't get Jesus to come is their offense. John the Baptist's offense. That we do know, right? And what John the Baptist never got to hear was that he was the greatest man who had ever lived up to that point. He didn't get to hear it. Why? Because it wouldn't have made a difference. See, when you're offended, I mean, how many hours and hours that I've sat with people telling them who they are and how loved they are, and we love you, da da da, and they can't hear a thing because they're offended. They can't hear a thing because they're the victim. The grace of God is here today to get the hook out. All things are not possible for the offended. All things are not possible for the offended. John the Baptist never gets to hear it. In fact, what's interesting is that Jesus gives the testimony. Talk about testimony, how important testimony is. He goes, tell him what I've done. He's testifying. He say, tell him what I've done. He's already heard it. See, he's already heard the news about Jesus. It said in prison, he heard about all the things he was doing. But John wouldn't listen. He wouldn't let the testimony encourage him that, man, God, you used me to prepare the way for you, right? And then Jesus doesn't send back, go tell John, he's the best, he's awesome. Tell him how awesome he is. Tell John what I'm doing. In fact, what he says, he's testifying what he's doing, but he's also speaking the word. He's quoting Isaiah 35 and Isaiah 61. Because the word of God can get you out of it. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. Testimonies are also that which gives us faith. Because if we say, God, you did it before, you'll do it again. You're not a respecter of persons. But then here's the hidden message Jesus is also sending John. John, you're not getting out. What do you mean? Where is that? Well, if you know Isaiah 61, it ends with sets the captives free. Jesus leaves that part of Isaiah 61 out of the message that he has for John. Now, we don't know, but what I believe, because John is a man of God, and when he heard the words of Jesus, he got it. He got it. And he said, again, I'm projecting here, but this is what I would hope. This is what has happened in my life over and over again. When I've finally come to the truth, I'm like, God, I surrender. You know, so often I get disappointed and take the bait of offense because I'm like, is it not enough? Have I not done enough? I mean, two times this year, I mean, I am like, I've done everything right. I'm ministering at the highest level. I'm loving my wife at the best a husband could, like in my mind, okay? But, and I got disappointed because it wasn't enough. And then I got offended. And I was at, like, I'm living so good. But I took the bait. And praise God, I didn't let the bait live in me very long by the grace of God. But early on this past year, when we made a declaration that not in our city and that we were going to do Night of Hope valley-wide, from doing it regionally in the Southeast Valley to valley-wide, it was, man, we got to call people. We got to reach out. We got to, you know, work. And the Holy Spirit told me this very early on. He said, don't get offended when people say no. Process your disappointment and move on. Church, we had, I just found out this morning, 16 missing children found. Thank you, Jesus. But as we journaled and we called people, people were like, "We're not. I'm not interested." Pastors going, "Sorry, we're just not interested." You're a pastor, and I'm lovely. But thank God for that wisdom and guidance, because that offense would not have helped me. Okay, and even if I kept going because of offense and anger, I've disqualified my motivation. I don't even get credit now for the work that I do because I haven't done it by faith. Like, you don't even get credit because you're doing it with the wrong motivation. You're doing it because you're angry. You're doing it because you're frustrated. But you have to learn, we have to, what, and I'm going to get to the, you know, what practically we can do to deal and process our disappointment, because you got to process it. You got to process it. The answer is not stuff it. In fact, let me tell you, I discovered this, just a few things about not processing disappointment and offense and anger, and all those are connected. Whether you are an exploder or an internal, like, it's unhealthy. And science, okay, is bringing confirmation. So, I mean, be spurred to change on this evidence. Heart health. In the 2 hours after an angry outburst, the chance of having a heart attack doubles. A Harvard study showed that up to 6 hours after offense and anger. So you're driving to work, you're driving to church, and you get offended because of a driver. Well, now I know I'm stepping on toes, right? Okay, my own included, all right? But for 6 hours after that episode, your immune system drops dramatically. Because of offense. Because you can't process disappointment in a healthy way. You're killing yourself. The devil's killing you when he grabs you through offense. The increased risk of stroke, of having a stroke, is 3 times higher when you don't process disappointment and anger. Lung issues, off of the chart, your lungs, breathing. Anger increases your anxiety. If you're an anxious person, you need to do a deep down dive and go, am I just disappointed and offended at something or someone? It might be yourself. I don't know about you. There's moments that I've been angry at my kids, right? But I'm actually angry at myself. It's about me, because I'm like, oh, I could have done better. Like, you know, like they're when they were young, they were maybe acting out or out, you know, I'm just like, oh, you know, it, and it was like, no, this is you. You're angry at you because you didn't put the work in, right, in this moment, or you made it about you or whatever it is. But anxiety, do it deep down. If you're an anxious person, do it deep down, dive and go, where am I disappointed? Where have I been disappointed and not processed that? Because wouldn't you think that's a real connection between anxiety and disappointment? Yes. Why? Because you've been disappointed so many times, you're anxious that you're going to be disappointed again. Anger stops wounds from healing. Actual wounds won't heal because of frustration, anger. Don't take the bait, church. Don't take the bait. So what do we do when we're disappointed? Thank you for asking. If we can't reset our expectations in that moment, we need to lament. We need to take that disappointment to God. Like David, go, God, this is hard. This hurts. Man, I had a different expectation. Just get real with God. He can handle it. He already knows what you were expecting. He's not trying to hurt you. He's got a better plan. Maybe it's you're not ready yet. Or maybe it's, man, you're investing, you're storing up right now. I don't have to have to. You don't have to have understanding. But what you have to do is trust. So we go to God and we lament. And then from this point, this moment, what's your plea? What do you want now from here? What do you want to expect from here? You got to reset that expectation. In the coming weeks, we'll talk more about that. But you can't quit. You can't quit. You can't stop. But you also have to get real and process that. And for men, a lot of times it's processing your thoughts. So wives, we're not making decisions when we're talking about what we're thinking about. Okay, so let us process it. Let us process our thoughts with you. And men, let your wives process their feelings and their emotions with you. And go to God, process it with Him. Process it with Him. But there's a reset. And sometimes it is. John You're not getting out. Don't take the bait of offense. God will and does work all things out for good. Not always in this life, but always in the next life. So we're going to close in worship. We're going to close together with an opportunity to give God your disappointment. The Holy Spirit may bring something to remembrance that was 10 years ago. And it may be something that you have to process even further, but you can begin that process right now. But I believe the grace of God, some of you are going to get free right now, today. Offenses are going to be released. Disappointments are going to be processed. Forgiveness is going to be released. An offense is like holding a hot coal in your hand, hoping the person you're offended at is burned. John was not set free from prison. You and I can be set free from every spiritual prison and bondage that we have. Because this is a promise for us. Would you stand to your feet? Would you bow your heads? Would you close your eyes? Would you let the Holy Spirit continue to speak to you? Oh God. Come on. The Bible says repentance is a gift. Come on, repent. Change the way you're thinking about your circumstance, your situation, your past. Come on, repent about being offended at yourself, offended at God and others. It's time to let it go. It's time to be free, church. Come on, lift up your hands and surrender and say, Jesus, I surrender. I give it to you. I give you my disappointment. I give you my offense. Oh, I give you my unforgiveness. Oh, I let people go. I let people go. I let myself go. I'm going to walk in freedom. I'm going to walk in freedom, free of disappointment, free of offense, free of unforgiveness. Hallelujah. Free of bitterness. Freedom come. Freedom come right now. Fall, Holy Spirit, in this place. And those watching right now, freedom can come into your home, into your car, right now. Surrender to His Spirit. Surrender to His fire. Come on, let revival begin in your hearts. Let revival begin today in you.
Thank you for listening to this message from Bethel Church. If you'd like to connect with us, download our app using the keywords Bethel Chandler or visit us online at BethelChandler.com.